Welcome to Dramas with a Side of Kimchi, the fangirl party every drama fan wants to join. Grab your kimchi and face masks and let's chat Asian dramas. I'm Kay Muse.
And I'm Drama Geek.
Yeah.
Hey, patrons. Don't forget to come join us on Discord. Sorry, I got a little confused there because I thought we were pimping that we have a Patreon page, but you guys know about it because you're right here and you're listening. So we have so many great discussions about various dramas and movies. Like, seriously, we're trying to go on the Patreon and like comment more about what we're watching and be interactive with you guys there. And I know K-Muse and I did a little bit of that, but like, if you really want to chat daily or just there's dramas that you really want to talk to people about, the Discord server is where you're going to go. If you're not used to it, I promise you, it doesn't take that long to get the hang of it. And then you'll be chatting away. So we are watching and discussing the Indian romantic comedy, Rocky Aur Rani Ki Prem Kahani. Sorry, pronouncing that wrong. I actually don't listen or don't watch a lot of Indian movies like K-Muse does. So I don't hear those words all the time. So for this month's movie club, that's what we're watching. We're discussing. It's streaming on Amazon Prime. So if it sounds like something that you would want to do, join us on Discord.
So, and hopefully if I can figure out how, I would like to get it so... I'm not saying we'll watch all the episodes together, but maybe when a new drama starts that a lot of people are excited for, we can have a filming of the first episode that we can all watch together. I'm trying to figure out how to do that on Discord. I think there's a way to screen share on that from what I've Googled, but I haven't tried it actually myself yet. So I'm trying to figure that out and try to find if there's some way where... oh, this drama is starting this week. I can't commit to watching every single episode with everyone all the time, but maybe I could watch one episode and we can all have that first watch connection all together. So I'm trying to figure out how to do that. Hopefully that'll be something that comes in the new year, probably, because my next month to 2 months are insanely busy with visiting relatives. So that'll be a... 2024 situation, but we are trying to figure out how to do something like that on Discord and just give it that extra little fun event kind of feel. So that's in the future, hopefully. Cross fingers. All right. So today's topic is one we've been wanting to talk about forever, but just now that there are so many amazing dramas out, it is so much harder to get them all into a podcast. And so this one had to sit on the back burner for a little while until we came together and Drama Geek actually took some time off of work so we could record. And so today we are going to be talking about the epic drama Song of the Bandits with the always glorious Kim Nam-gil. And it is a story about the Japanese occupation, which is always slightly depressing. And the people in South Korea who had to head to the lawless land of Jeonju in China, and that's kind of where all of the different countries kind of had it was almost like a easement where they didn't attack each other per se. Was it Singapore or one of those cities in China was... I can't remember which city it was, but it was occupied by the French, the Japanese, the Chinese, and Korean patriots all at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's kind of the area that it's talking about. But I don't remember the actual town that was the main center. It's in a lot of the Chinese dramas that are out there of the similar occupation time. And so... this is about the South Korean residents that settle down there and try to avoid the Japanese, and they unite to protect their settlements from harm. So it's kind of like bandits is what they term in this.
That's the translation.
That's the translation.
I think that when they're talking about the bandits is separate from all the people that have settled there. The bandits are
they're among the people that settled there.
Right. But the bandits particularly, they're not part of the freedom fighters.
No.
They do their own thing. And they do, like, usually they're kind of, you know, they steal to fund themselves. And for the most part, you know, it's not as like hero worthy as if they were part of the freedom fighter. So that I think that's why this separate term of the bandits.
Yeah. And it's in the early years of the war. So this isn't far into the situation. So it's kind of when the Japanese are just kind of doing their push into the area. Also, if I recall.
So, they have a pretty, I mean, I'm not
it was
sure.
A long time period, but it wasn't World War II yet.
Correct. All right. So we're going to do a spoiler free section for this drama. It's a 9-episode drama, spoiler free. And then we're going to shift to spoilers. So let's start off by discussing why we started this drama. Kim Nam-gil is always one that I like to check out, but for me, it was the visuals of, like, because it pops up on Netflix, it was up there, and it was just like, this is just too good to not try and not see what this is like, because the promo and the visuals and everything were just fantastic. And so that's why I tried it, was because Netflix was telling me, hey, this is pretty shiny and you need to start it.
I started watching it because of Kim Nam-gil. Right? He's one of my top three favorite actors. He kind of rotates in those top three, but I have loved him ever since way, 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 way back on. Was it Song Duk-soon? Something like that, where it was about the one of the Three Kingdoms historicals from way, 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 way back. He was a character that came in the middle of the drama, and he became a standout star, to where they added in extra content with him and made him a main character. And he's just always gotten me hooked ever since. I don't think I've ever skipped any of his dramas that he's done. So this was definitely, I was watching it for him. And he is super sexy, and it's like a Western. So I was totally in. And it was just the benefit of everything else, too. But him twirling his guns around was very hot.
Yeah, I think that there, because I didn't start this right away. I had some other stuff I needed to finish up. And I think the TikTok videos of him doing his rifle and swinging it around and practicing and stuff and everything, I was like, okay, yeah, no, I already had that kind of on my list, but I need to check that out. So let's introduce a few main characters and why we can't get enough of them.
And of course, we're going to start with Lee-yoon. He's played by Kim Nam-gil. He is an ex-slave who was freed, give quotes, by his masters when the Japanese invaded. He was also dragged along with the son of his masters to fight in the Japanese army. And so they were kind of like a lot of the noble Korean nobility turned over to the Japanese when they invaded, and they got positions in with the Japanese in the military. And so they're kind of turncoats of the country. But because of some horrible slaughtering that the Japanese did of the Korean people, he's become very disillusioned, kind of is looking for death and redemption for what he considers his sins to be of letting these people get slaughtered. And so he goes off to meet his death via this general who was in, I guess he had killed his daughter in the slaughtering of all those people. And so he was going off to meet his death, almost like, kind of like, you know, those people do death by cop. This is death by arrow wielding general. So well, that's kind of where he's at the beginning of the show.
And it to be fair to him, I don't think he actually killed anybody in that
situation. He tried to stop it, and right, his
he was the person that led everybody there, because that was his skills were to he's
a tracker, he's an assassin kind of.
So yeah, he found them and led them to him, and he didn't realize what they were going to do. And once he saw what they were going to do, that's when he tried to stop them, and then he was knocked out. And then from that point on, he was like, pretty much just wallowed, and then decided once he found the name and whereabouts of the general, he was going to let him tell him what he did and let him kill him. So that's where he starts out. But what he doesn't know is that when he gets there, he's going to run into Yon Yi. And I apologize on her name, because I don't know. I know that they've pronounced it over and over and over again, but it's just not sounding right to my head.
Call her the hot assassin girl.
The hot assassin girl. But so she's played by Yi Ho-jung, and she's fabulous and fantastic. But so she's an assassin who is hired to you know, kill people, obviously, assassin. And her skills are just amazing. But so when he gets to where he's going, he runs into this assassin who has been hired to kill him. And so they have a lovely showdown, which if that's all you're going to watch of the whole series, do so. But so her character is very layered, and you find out more about her past later on. But essentially she's hired by people. It doesn't matter, you know, which side they're on or whatever. She just takes their money, and then she goes out and she kills them. And she's a part of a organization where pretty much you kill who you're assigned, you know, you're hired to kill, or you're killed in return if you don't do that. So, but she is hired to kill him, and things don't go as planned for her, because she finds out his mission and is like, okay, well, we'll just let him do it for me. And then she goes about her way, but she is an integral part of the story and will return after after that. But so she is, and it comes later in play of like them acting like who's the better of the two. And there's never a deciding vote between the two of them, of course, but they are both super skilled in what they are trained to do, and it is fabulous watching them fight each other.
Well, and it's a hard thing to do to not be outshone by Kim Nam-gil when he's in his pure action persona. Like, he's so charismatic when action scenes, and she stands toe to toe and sometimes outshines him. So she is good.
She is.
And I would even say that probably the breakout performance of the year was this performance by her in this drama, and loved her. I guess she was in Nevertheless. She's been in a lot of like little teeny scene cameos and a lot of stuff, but she was in the drama Nevertheless more significantly. And because of this, K-drama Jen went and watched Nevertheless, and she said she was also very good in that. I didn't watch it. I don't know why, but I never got around to watching it. And so this is the first time I've seen her perform, and she's amazing. I guess she's a model turned actress. And so hopefully this is the first of many dramas to come, because I could not take my eyes off of her. She was so cool.
Yeah, I would say her, and then maybe the actor, the kids from Moving might be my votes for breakout.
Yeah,
because they were absolutely 100% fabulous as well. But yeah, no, she definitely draws your attention. And to do that while Kim Nam-gil is doing his thing is pretty impressive.
Yeah. And our third person that is the lead in the show is So-hyun. And she plays Nam-hee-shin, who is a freedom fighter. I believe she's been connected in with the I'm not sure if she's full nobility or if she's just a really high up in society daughter of high society Koreans, but she is undercover giving details to the freedom fighters. She's funding them. She's planning heists. She's hiring our hot assassin girl to go steal tons of money underneath the noses of everyone else. She's definitely brains and beauty. She's also the crush, first love of Kim Nam-gil and the fiance to his former master's son. So the guy that is joined the Japanese army and is so ruthless, she's getting married to him. And so there's a lot going on with that romantic dynamic that can't really happen much. And we will discuss more why later on.
So I don't know if it was before I started watching that. I don't remember where I was kind of hearing it from, but you know, a lot of people were saying, you know, her acting just wasn't as good as the hot assassin girl and that her character was a little bit,
however,
paled in comparison.
Changed my mind the more I watched. The hot assassin girl definitely is the flashy part.
Right.
But narrative wise, we definitely needed this character as well, because you couldn't have the hot assassin girl do both. It just wouldn't work. The dynamic would be wrong.
Right.
And so narratively, she did an amazing job. And I do like this actress. I think she does amazing jobs in, she's done a lot of historical stuff and period pieces. I think she's very good at that. And by the end of the show, I definitely appreciated her performance and her character. So I take that back. But
yeah. Well, and I think she was a good representation of, because again, she is, I feel like that in some of the last episodes, she said something about being a nobleman's daughter or something. So I don't know what her father's role was, but I mean, she takes on the position that she has within the organization on purpose so that she can spy. She gets cozy and gets engaged to this person on purpose. She has no feelings for him whatsoever, but she does it because she can gain access to information. And also as part of her cover, like, she's not going to be suspected if she is the wife of a very important officer. So she's deliberate in the things that she does in her life to make sure that she can help the freedom fighters as much as she possibly can. And then she's also not above like hiring an assassin to go steal the money. And then once she is a part of that plan, like, she holds her own and does her own thing within the freedom fighters and getting the money where it needed to be taken. And her devotion to the freedom of her country and of her people shines through in a lot of the actions that she does, putting herself last above, you know, not kind of going off of her feelings and trying to run after, you know, this lovely man, Yoon, who is, it's hard to say no to him.
Yeah.
But, you know, she does such a great job. So I loved her performance. And again, like you said, her role as the show continues on is very important. So, yeah.
All right. So overall theme and level of violence. This is the only reason I wouldn't recommend it to literally everyone. There is some violence in this.
And unlike Moving,
you can't separate it. No.
Like, you just, because Moving, you could kind of skip over it and still really get, I mean, there were some things that you might miss out on. But with this one, it's woven into the story, because that's the thing, is that they are fighting for their freedom. They are fighting for their lives. They're, you know, they are fighting somebody who's coming in and taking away their homes and their, you know, women and their, all of that stuff. So to see, you know, yes, the director doesn't have to be quite as like, there was a couple of scenes, especially
you
with,
don't need 15 stabs of a knife to the head to get your
point. Right.
Like, you don't see the knife going in, but you know, that's what they're doing. So it was an interesting mix of kind of violent, but not as bloody as it could be. I guess it
tapered off. It's definitely bloody, but so it tapered off.
No, there was, but it could have been worse.
Yeah. So it tapered off after a certain point. Like, I think that there was, because they're even watching, like, seeing comments by people who are watching that aren't that they don't really like watching the violence as much. Not that I love watching violence, but anyway, like they just were having a little bit of a harder time. And then after it got to a certain point, from that point on, it was like, okay, no, the director is doing a good job of really just establishing the storyline. And that isn't such a, it doesn't feel gratuitous. It's very important. So there are a couple in the first, I would say three episodes, maybe four or so that, and again, there's this one particular scene with the assassin girl that, like, you know, she stabs him a couple more times than is necessary. And there's definitely some blood. And maybe that was part just showing a part of her character. I don't know. But anyway, so the violence is a part of the story. It's a part of the history. It's not so, like, it's kind of like a Sagok or whatever, where they're, you know, torture scenes and stuff like that, where if you can't handle watching that, this is just not going to be the drama for you, because again, it's really hard to not watch those, because they're fighting in every episode, because again, they're fighting for their lives, they're fighting for resources, and there's a fight scene probably, you know, in almost every episode.
I will say that they are amazingly choreographed, though.
They, like, are
so
they're
good.
Fantastic.
They are a visual feast.
Mr. Drama Geek, I had already suggested it to him, but he didn't know which, you know, I just said, hey, if you see it on Netflix, you should put this in my list so you can watch later. And then I was sitting there watching, and it happened to be episode 7. And
best
I was sitting there watching,
and
he was sitting next to me. He goes, oh, is this the one that you told me about? Click my list. He added it right away. Because the choreography of that fight scene in episode 7 was just legendary. It was so good.
It was. It's probably in, I would put it in the top 10 I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, just watching, and the screen, just all the characters come to life, not just Kim Nam-gil and our hot assassin girl, but all of the other fighters as well. It's just like they all had their moment to shine, and with the epic music and just everything. And it's like, this is so cool. Even though they're killing a bunch of people, but, you know.
Yeah. So, I put this in, yep, you've guessed it, cinematography. I put that in because K-Drama Jen was supposed to record with us, and unfortunately she had a really bad migraine and is not able to record, and we need content when we need we need it for next week, so we can't put it off. But you cannot, I think the choreography of the fights and then the cinematography, and I'll tack on the intro scene. I don't always watch intro scenes. You need to at least watch it once. It's kind of my son's rule of anime. You have to watch the intro and listen to the intro song at least one time while you're watching it. And then the rest of the time you can skip if you feel like you need to. But this one, I feel like I watched the intro scene maybe 5 out of the 7 episodes, or maybe 5 yeah. or 4 or 5.
I don't think I ever fast forwarded it.
Yeah,
it was
the artwork, good. The artwork and the song and everything was just great. But the cinematography with the setting and getting the feeling of, it's not always pretty. It's, you know, a lot of times it was more dusty and desolate, and really establishing that, like, a lot of people will say Westerns, which is the Western, the Western part of the world, like, you know, cowboys and out on the west of the frontier and everything in early
where it's
America,
all big sky, open
right.
plains.
And open plains. And that's where the location where the city is, you know, the town that they are in and what's surrounding it and the desolation and everything, they do a good, and like, horse and the carriages and the trains and all that kind of stuff. It completely has that. And the guns and the, you know, the rifles and stuff gives you, and on purpose, even some of the hats and things that they had him wear or whatever, we're definitely trying to, like, give that feeling of a Western gunslinger type thing. But I feel like the cinematography was a really important part of the show, and it really set the mood, and it, coupled with the acting and the fight choreography and the pulling off of the fight scenes and everything, it all just made it a very fun package to enjoy.
I totally agree. It was so much fun. And I'm actually from where all the Westerns are located, in Wyoming. So it's kind of fun to have that open plains vibe and, you know, the mountains in the distance and the gun shootings and stuff. And it just kind of brought back some thoughts of home, and because they'd always have the fake gun battles and stuff at the fairs and the when they were doing like parades and stuff. And so it was just kind of fun to see that kind of aspect that I grew up with. And and they definitely brought the feeling of a traditional Hollywood Western, but with the Asian vibe and the Asian context. And so they, it wasn't just like a copy. It felt very individually for the location and the time. And they did an amazing job.
I agree. So now, if you have not watched this drama, I would say just go watch it and then come back, because we're going to do lots of spoilers. Although I feel like the enjoyment of watching it wouldn't be spoiled if you knew some of the content, because it's not one where it's all about the twists and turns and all that kind of stuff necessarily. But you're warned, we are going to the whole, because we've watched the entire drama. So the rest of this content is going to be about all of the drama. And I had to pull up the list of characters, because we're going to talk about the group of bandits and the interesting relationships they have. There's a lot of them, and most of them I don't really know their names. It was more like their specialty. Like, there's the guy with the axes that he liked to throw and the knives.
Yeah, I didn't know names either, but yeah, all of the specialty characters.
Yeah, and there's the what is it? The sharpshooter. There's a sharpshooter, and then there's the big guy who's just like a tank coming in,
and then the gun runner.
The gun runner, yeah.
Also ex-slave with Namgil's character.
Yeah, Cha Chung Hwa, which I just love her. She usually plays a lot of like
Ajumma characters.
Yeah, side characters and stuff. But like this one, she was a force to be reckoned with. She was the one earning them money and making sure that, you know, she didn't always sell to, you know, she didn't always have a compass of like just selling to the good guys or whatever. But
she wanted to make money and be safe.
You're right. And because again, she was another person that was a slave to the former their master, so they were at the same, her and Yi-Yun were both at the same house that they lived in or whatever before they were released or whatever. So you've got this these people, and they're all kind of rally around the general that Yi-Yun's character went to tell him, hey, I'm the reason that your family and your town, your village, everybody you knew were slaughtered. So you can kill me now. And he doesn't. And they end up forming we're not going to let them get the best of us. And we're going to take care of each other. And we're not going to be freedom fighters necessarily, but we're going to form a family and we're going to keep each other safe. And we're going to do what we can. So the formation of their group, it's done really well. I really love Yoo Jae-myung. He's played a lot of different characters. He plays in Sagok's a lot, but his character is like the fatherly figure of the group. And so I completely enjoyed the bandits. They don't really show how they form or anything, which is not that important of how they bring them into their fold or whatever. But you kind of go from them being like, okay, I'm not going to kill you, and we're going to form a friendship, to now we have all these people and we're stealing, stealing money and doing what we do. But I grew to really care and really like all of them, and didn't want to see any of them meet their end by the end of the drama. They're all played by people who, some of them I recognize, some of them I don't, but I enjoyed all of them immensely.
I was so worried that some of them were gonna die. I'm like, no, don't kill him. No, don't kill him. Because there's a moment where they're defeated by the kind of, I wouldn't call them bandits, but they're warrior or Korean warrior people who have kind of joined together to do mercenary work.
And they aren't Korean, so
they weren't Korean.
No, they are definitely not speaking Korean. Oh, okay. They're, yeah, so that I feel
maybe
like they're
Chinese, or,
yeah,
I don't
think
know,
that they're,
Mongolian.
Yeah,
I don't know. They're mercenaries,
right? So they have the main guy, and he's he doesn't speak Japanese, and then they have the one guy that helps him out, and he interprets for him. But from my understanding is that they, you know, are from close by, but not, again, they're all kind of in this place where it's like, you know, nobody's necessarily the ruler, although the Japanese forces seem to be the driving force. But yeah, so they're from they're helping out, and but they have their own agenda. And they helped capture them, and they put them in jail, and they're trapped, and they are all gonna die. And so it's one of those where you're like, oh no. And Eun wasn't there. He was off helping get the funds where they needed to go. So
and
they're
their
all
hot assassin girl had been like pushed away so she would be saved, kind of thing.
Right. But she comes back right when Eun returns, and then they try to break them out of the jail.
They're so adorable. Together. Their bantering is so much fun.
It's one of my favorite parts of like their relationship.
It's all
of,
about
like,
who's in charge, who's the better fighter.
He's like,
but
did you just
so
tell
equal.
Me what to do? Okay, so then this is what you're gonna do, and she repeats exactly what he says, but like just tells him to do it. But no, I loved their relationship. Definitely had more of a sibling.
Oh yeah, total
rivalry
sibling.
Type. I mean, she tried to kill him for most of the show. But they again, they are both Koreans fighting against a common enemy, and she was doing what she had to do to survive. And so yeah, no, their relationship and their back and forth was one of the highlights of the series.
Totally agree. So much so. So we also have to talk about the former owner who turned into be the Japanese soldier. It was so interesting that they brought that dynamic into the story, and it made it so much more layered than if it was just them saying, oh yeah, we are former slaves and now we're free.
Right.
Because to see the dynamic of him ordering them around, of using their past trauma and the dynamic of them being slaves and treating them like, and how it just pulled them back into their previous life was so interesting and well done. It's just, it was fascinating watching certain scenes where the guy would try to put his authority over them, and how neither of them could really necessarily kill him.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, wow, that's like ingrained trauma. Super
well,
deep.
So one thing this is not the period of time of like when people were slaves moving forward to when they were not slaves. That's just not talked about or in dramas as much as, you know, some of the other stuff. But they, because they're the same age, that relationship and the way it's portrayed in dramas a lot of times of the noble person, usually the woman, and her faithful slave, you know, her faithful companion, let's say that word, companion, and how much the companion is devoted, and how loving, you know, that their relationship ends up being, is kind of how that is portrayed a lot of times. Whereas, you know, so they grew up together, and so they were like, could have been like brothers, being portrayed like brothers in a different setting, different drama. Whereas now they're showing like how it was, is even after he's not his slave, and how they interact, and how early in the the Eun being a Japanese soldier, it wasn't exactly a choice that he had. He was kind of released and then ended up having to serve his master through that and do what he wanted. It was a very interesting dynamic. And the person that plays the Japanese soldier and the fiance of the female lead is Lee Hyun-wook, and he did fabulous in this drama. He did so good, and he's done really good in a lot of others. And he's another person who ends up being the bad guy or the second lead, who's not that great sometimes, but he did such a great job in that, the dynamic of seeing somebody who had been a master and then had the way that he interacted with people. And he even has a subordinate under him currently who, I don't remember if they ever say he was also a former slave, but he's definitely treated that way. That is doing everything he's telling him to do as a subordinate in the Japanese army, but he's also a Korean man who probably was a slave of somebody before he became part of the army. So his role, and then the way he interacts with the female lead and how it progresses to, I don't think he suspects her throughout, but once he does start like realizing that she's a part of it, then all the pieces start falling into place. And him being like, no, you can't tell me I'm not going to marry her. I'm going to marry her anyway. And that it was a very interesting dynamic he brought into the story. And he couldn't kill he couldn't kill Eun either. Again, he treated him like a slave throughout, but there was still remnants of like that they grew up together and everything.
Although he hired the assassin girl to murder him.
He did, because he didn't have to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That, like, is true. He didn't have to kill him. He was able to just like give her money and walk away from it. And so I don't know if he would have been able to pull the trigger. Maybe he would, but it's an
interesting dynamic.
Yeah. It was very fascinating to watch. And they both did such a great job. There's so many scenes where you can see their past dynamic just in their posture and the way that they're addressing each other and the looks, and it's just small little things that they're both doing that you can see the echo from the past in there. All right, so the romance in the drama, thoughts on the amount that was included? A lot of times in this type of drama with a lot of the focus on the fighting and everything, there's not I don't know, sometimes there's a lot of romance
or it ends up very tragic.
Right. It either ends up tragic or whatever. And there are people on Discord, and I have never seen Gone with the Wind. No, nor do I have any desire to ever watch it. But there are people that say that some scenes are directly from that. So I don't know if the romance portion of it is supposed to be like Gone with the Wind or what. And I don't know where that came from. Because it was something before it even started. Some people were saying something about it.
I could see how it kind of has a similar vibe, but I would say the dynamics are different.
Yeah. But
The vibe is there.
Yeah. I felt like it was included just enough. Like, I felt like it didn't overpower anything, that the focus stayed on, and even in the end, their choices, the focus stayed on what was important at the time of like, no, this is what has to happen. It is tragic in some ways so far, because again, spoilers, she ends up marrying the master of the person that the former master of the person that she really truly loves, for the sake of the cause. So they do not, at least at this point in time, they do not end up together, but their romance is just kind of underneath the surface a lot. She doesn't even know who he is for a lot of times that they're interacting with each other. And there's just tiny little scenes with romance in it. And I thought it was the perfect amount. And I really liked them together.
I have to agree. What completely sold me was episode 9 or 8 is when he goes to search for her in the city, and she sees him and says, I can't see him, I can't pursue this romance, and has the freedom fighter go to tell him. And then where she has that moment of weakness and goes rushing after him anyway, it gave it a very human feel, like, just so it's not all the cause, it's not all 100% better for the people all the time. Both of them have weak moments, mm-hmm. and you can see that longing for something that's not going to happen right now.
Yeah.
Because they have to put other things before, and how he has switched into that realization and has found a cause for himself as well. And I thought they used that human nature and something we all can kind of relate about wanting and connecting, that connection, and still putting something higher above it. Mm-hmm. And they used that romance to do that. And I thought it was brilliantly done.
Yeah.
And I loved where it ended, actually. And I would love to see what happens next.
Right.
But I was happy that it wasn't some, oh, and someone dies. Because that almost is always how the Japanese occupation dramas end. Yeah. And someone dies.
I mean, she does end up married to somebody who stands for everything that she hates. But I mean, at least
she's not dead. Yet.
Right. Right. And maybe, you know, later in 20 years or so that she can part ways with him. I don't know. No, I agree. I think that they did it because he sees her too at the train station.
Yeah. And he makes his decision.
And he makes his decision. So they both, because he had just found out that like they were actively going to obliterate all the Korean people in the village that they were. Or it's not just a village because
it's a area.
It's the main epicenter where everybody, you know, they hide in their own little village that nobody knows where they are. But the town and where the people are, they were going to go and just kill all of the Korean people because of they set it up to where the Japanese people were okay with it. So, yeah, he knows that he's got to get back and protect his family. And he talks about them being family. Several times. So he's got to go back and protect his family, and she has to keep up she doesn't know that her fiance, now husband, knows. So she's got to keep that up so she can keep getting secrets and getting them to the freedom fighters. Although now she's probably not going to be as
effective
with that. So, but they leave it off at a place, which is not the next question, the next one. So we'll save that. We'll save the thoughts on the ending. Okay. But the romance, they left the romance off in a place that I felt was realistic and not too sad, but left in a good place.
Yeah. So what are some of our favorite scenes? And I know episode 7, the fight scene, has got to be on both of our lists. Because that was so cool.
Yeah.
Kim Nam-gil's character and our hottie assassin come together in a fight on his part to protect the woman he loves and her secrets, and on her part more as just an FU to the to the people that betrayed her and tried to murder her.
Right.
And so they come together in this awesome fight out scene, and it's just so cool. And it's a very long sequence where it's them first fighting against all of the Korean guys' troops. They come into the town. They're going to take him back. He wants to hypothetically kill his former slave-bestie. But then they start taking out all of his troops. And so it's kind of a decimation. And then more Japanese troops come, but then all of the bandits come, and then all of the mercenaries come. It's like a huge
everybody
fight.
Everybody comes,
But it was so good, and there were so many moments with the music and the action, and it all felt fresh and unique and something I've never seen. There's this one cool scene where they both jump on a chair and go down. Like, it's just cool. It's cool. It's so good.
So I obviously love that scene. But one that really sticks out to me is during the end part of that fight, when they're all, I don't know if it's that fight or a different fight. It all kind of went together toward the
end. It was
like
a great 3 episodes of awesome fighting.
So I think it's the end of that fight. They're getting, it's the mercenaries come in and they're getting defeated by them. And the father figure general guy comes and he tells her, go away.
Yeah.
To the assassin girl. He's like, save yourself. Get out of here.
You're not even part of this. You're not part of the family.
Yeah, this is our fight. You always, you know, you do what you need to do to protect yourself. So she leaves, and just the sequence of her on the horse and the scenery behind her and like her, Kim Nam-gil never looked bedraggled. Like, he did not look horrible throughout. She, on the other hand,
she had some moments,
dirt and hair, and like, but she just looks so like worn down and everything, but she's fighting with herself about going or coming back and what should she do. And again, the background and the lighting and all, they did it so well, where it was very desolate. She's in the like desert area, and then she just stops and she's like, okay, horse, you're gonna take me wherever you want me to go forward if I need to keep going, or, you know, turn around. And of course the horse goes forward, because that's where it's facing. And then she turns around and goes back. That whole sequence, I just really loved that sequence with her, and how it was that turning point of like, she's no longer going to keep being an assassin and kill people. She's going to join them and help them out. And she goes back. And again, it was done. And the music, you mentioned it a little bit, but you've got to download the OST.
It's amazing.
For this, you have to listen to every song. Every song in here is just amazing. It's paired well with the scenes that they did. It's probably my favorite of the year. It was just fantastic.
Well, and I have a couple more, but that made me think about the scene where she decides not to assassinate him, because she's going to go kill him through a window, because she sees him. He's talking to the main girl about his trauma and what has happened to him and stuff like that. And she is able to connect with his trauma in regards to her own. And so she turns away, and just, again, her performance is so good. If you consider this is like one of her first main roles of this caliber, just seeing all the expressions and everything cross her face while she's debating, is she going to murder him like she was supposed to, or is she going to walk away and let this go? Yeah. And just so good. And it's just these quiet moments in a sea of action that really stood out. And they're, both of them are her performances, I think.
Well, and that makes me think of the female leads performance. So they're on the train and they're all trying to, so they're trying
they
to
had
get
such
the
great
person
chemistry.
With the money.
Yeah.
They're trying to get the person with the money, and she's the one that has the money because the assassin girl stole it for her. And her whole, like, how she stole it and how she tricked everybody, that was pretty
was
great.
Awesome. Yeah.
But they're on the train, and then everybody at the, you know, Japanese soldiers show up, and Eun and his men are there, and that whole, like, getting off the train and then the dust storm and her trying to get away and then him kind of coming and finding her. I loved that whole train sequence with her. Again, the female lead, she did a really great job during all of that. They all did. That scene is also one of my favorites.
And the last one I was going to say was the one that felt the very much the most American Western that it could possibly be, and that was like the stagecoach chase.
Yes
That was such a great moment. Or it wasn't even like a stagecoach, it was like an armored car or something.
Yeah, and they
Wasn't
were that's where they were trying to steal the money from. So the money was supposed
to
be in
it. Yes, they were trying to steal the money, and there was guys with like a machine gun kind of thing, and everyone's after this because the rumors are out that all of this money is on this coach.
Right.
And then they're all going in on horses and fighting to get it. And pretty much anytime Kim Nam-gil has a gun and he's doing his gun techniques and flipping it around, and he does it with the revolvers, he does it with his it's not a shotgun but his like rifle, like it's just all good. It was so well done. He must have practiced so much to get all of those twirls so effortless, Because that was not CGI. That was all him, because we have background stuff on TikTok to show us all the practicing he had to do. And so all of that was so well done, so well filmed. It very much felt like that American Western vibe, but still with the Asian background, which was great. It was something different that we don't get in dramas all the time. So, and felt larger than life, like very much a movie film rather than a hour long drama episode kind of thing.
Yeah. No, I would say other than Mr. Drama Geek walked in on when they were in the jail, and the set design for all of that, he was like, oh, that kind of like is more of like old school Hollywood, looks a little, cheaper or not like, I think that's kind of, it was his attitude toward it, which I don't think, other than maybe a couple of set pieces, everything else, like the action sequences and the filming from, because again, he's up on a cliff,
plateau
up there while the stagecoach is going, and he's waiting to see when the dust gets into the machine gun. Well, it gets the bullets to where, because it keeps feeding into it, and once it gets clogged in there, then it'll jam.
Yeah.
So all of that and everything is just top notch, great. To watch and everything. So, you're right. That scene was definitely one of those, like, it felt the most like a Western.
Although in the set pieces defense, it's a town in the middle of nowhere.
I know.
And so a lot of those places are like thrown up with what's nearby, or they can like get delivered. It's not like nowadays where you can get lumber and stuff. So in defense, I mean, that's probably what they could create at that point in time in the middle of nowhere on the desert plains. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I wouldn't have thought, oh yeah, that looks cheesy. I'd just be like, everything's a little like in the backwoods.
Right.
It's not the palace. Let's just say that.
Right. Exactly. Well, and there wasn't. Yeah. that leads us to our thoughts on the ending. And do we want another season? The funny thing is that we had both started watching this a while ago, but because of other dramas and life and whatever, we hadn't finished it. And we knew we were recording today. So I watched the episode 9 last night, and you watched
and
eight
I watched
and
8 and 9. Yeah.
So when we came up with when I did this outline, I didn't know what the ending was, but to me, it made sense that it wasn't there's no bows that are tied. There's no feeling of completion. There's no, oh, and they all won and they ran away off into the sunset. This is another fight that we're going to have to be a part of, because we're going to have to keep fighting for our freedom and our lives for the next long period of time.
It's like, what, 15 years, 10, 15 years, something like that. It's a long time period.
It's a long time period. And so they couldn't end it in a way, maybe a small victory, but there's not going to be any really big victories. There's just going to be, we're able to continue to survive, and we're able to keep funding or keep getting information to the people that need it so we can keep fighting. So I felt like the ending had both the sense of like, there's no way to give that huge victory at the end, but also maybe we're going to see how this goes. And if it's popular enough, we're going to do another season. That's the way I felt about the ending of the ninth episode, was like, okay, we can end it here and it'll be okay if we never see these characters again, because you know they're just going to keep fighting the fight, or we're going to give you another season because there's lots of fights to be had.
Yeah, I just looked up and Korea was under Japanese rule from 1910 to 1945.
Yeah, and that's where, when you said it was at the beginning, I thought, oh, I feel like it's probably, because incident happened 8 years, so it's like 10 years in, because it's 1920. Yeah. I think is when this is supposed to take place. And again, none of it happens in Korea, it's outside the, yeah. The story itself is happening outside of Korea, but with the Korean people who have fled trying to seek some kind of life. So that makes sense that it would end of like, actually we have another 25 years of stuff that's going to happen. There's not going to be a victory hero, especially with what the people are doing and being a part of that freedom fight and all that kind of stuff. It's not outside of that framework of the history.
And again, I'm just happy that we didn't have mass casualties.
Right.
I mean, I've watched a couple and that's usually how it goes. Or I've watched like Chinese ones where usually it's at the very end of World War II, right as the communists win against the Japanese. And mm-hmm. that's kind of so they do it at the very end of this long occupation war mm-hmm. that has been going on. It's very rare that we get towards the earlier years. And a lot of it, again, ends with someone dying and just the fight goes on because it was a very long fight.
Yeah.
And so I enjoyed where we got it. I do know that Kim Nam-gil was openly pushing for a season 2 and said he is all in.
Yeah. I'm like, sure he loved playing those characters.
Well, it was funny because he got all these interviews through the Netflix and everything. He's like, oh yeah, we should do a season 2. Like in these interviews.
Hey, Netflix, are you listening?
Hey, Netflix, are you listening? Yeah. And so it was brilliantly done. I would happily watch these characters again. So good. And I'm a fan of everything about this drama.
Well, and it's November now. So we're coming to the end of our 2023 drama watching experience. And I think both of us can safely say that this drama is going to be one that's going to fight against others for that top spot. I don't know if I'm going to have a winner this year.
I don't think I'm going to either. I have like a top 15. It's been such a good year for dramas that I have been engaged in. And so it's so hard to choose, but it's definitely in the top 15. So it's in my top 5 for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's one of those where when it came out, there wasn't a question of whether I'd watch or not. Cause I really was like, no, it's 9 episodes. It's not as long. And I think every episode was either 50 minutes or below. So, with the longer credit scene at the end, that's where I was like looking at the time when we were getting toward the end of the episode 9. And I was like, it's a 7 minutes and I know there's a good 5 minutes worth of credits in every episode. So we've got 2 minutes left. What? And then he's sitting on his horse and it snaps to the opening sequence art. And I was like, oh, okay. All right. That's the end.
No, but I was okay with it. I thought
me too.
It was much more than I was
expecting. His whole family, they all survived. Now they showed him leading up to that last scene. They're getting their guns ready and they're about to go out and fight to protect the Korean people. So again, it gives the impression that the fight goes on. This is definitely a 10 out of 10. The best fight sequences of the year. And probably my favorite OST of the year, and then some of my favorite performances.
It's definitely up there.
Contender.
And I also gave it 10 out of 10, and I would actually recommend. There is the violence, but it was pretty great just all around.
I would say if you've enjoyed any of the other Netflix dramas that have come out, like My Name, or Squid Game, or any of that, or any of those. Although for me, Moving was in a different category of, I feel like some of the violence was, you could skip through that and it's still not
this one
too much.
You have to watch the
same with My Name.
Sequences.
My Name is you're going to watch that. So if you enjoyed any of that, or if you can watch episode 1 and be like, I'm in, you know, then you're fine. Cause again, the violence kind of levels out to where it's not as like the focus of the focus of the camera, it just kind of evens out. So yeah, I would recommend for anybody to try it. Unless, of course, you're like, no, I just know I can't watch that kind of stuff. And then that's understandable. But other than that, go watch it.
Agreed. All right. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to hear your thoughts about this episode. You can reach us on Twitter, Facebook, or our Patreon page. And the links are in our show notes.
We love blogging about Asian dramas, but behind the scenes, we have so much more to say and want to share it with you. And talking is so much faster than typing.